to you, I'll tell of how that good old Union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Oh,
which side are you on? Which side are you on?
And that was Which Side Are You On by Florence Reese from the album This Line Is Singin', which is a cassette from the Freedom Song Network, San Francisco. We're going to have more from the Freedom Song Network throughout this show. You're listening to Bath Robespierre's Broadsides, the October 27th edition, though God knows when it's going to be played on Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's what you're listening to right now. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. No call-in number at the moment, but my number, in case you want to have any comments on this show, in case you want to respond to anything you hear on this show, in case you want to have any questions you have got to put to me about anything that happens on this show, is 423-4833, or 423-HUFF. 423-HUFF. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, HUFF for short, an organization concerned with homeless rights. We're part of the Common Threads Coalition and the campaign to end the camping ban, which meets every Thursday night, 6 p.m. at What Is Art, a storefront, and I believe it's at 2044 North Pacific, which is right next to Trader Tots, half a block before the stoplight that intersects with River Street. That's River and North Pacific thereabouts. So if I have the number wrong, I'm pretty sure that you'll be able to find your way. It's 6 o'clock on Thursday nights. Come on by. We talk about ways to organize to end the sleeping ban. And we hope to have some good results. We've been getting better and better demonstrations. Howard Zinn last Thursday night had a large speech up at 900 High Street. Got the church up there. He had hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe 1,000, who knows. The place was packed. Zinn is the author and historian who wrote People's History of the United States, and all the good academic liberals and would-be progressives and rulers, movers, and shakers of Santa Cruz were there, and we were there too, shouting and shaking and asking why these clowns didn't allow poor people in their town the right to sleep at night. That's, of course, been a big issue for me and for this show for the last 2 years. Throughout the history of the show, and hopefully it won't be for the next 2 years, but we'll have to see. There is an election coming up in 2 weeks. We have two candidates, at least I do, that I recommend to you, Kristen Anderson and David Silva. Frankly, I don't think either of them have a chance of winning, but I think it's better to vote for someone you want and not get her than vote for someone you don't want and get her. So I suggest you vote for the right candidates, David Minton Silva, Kristen Anderson, and there are some who suggest voting for Catherine Byers. I'm not one of those, because even though Byers has been on the right side of a number of votes. She's been silent on so many other occasions and in power for so long, and has also been, she's in a position to make statements and ask for votes, particularly on the rights of poor people, particularly on the sleeping ban provisions of the camping ban. She could have asked for a vote this fall in order to give the city council a situation where they had to vote on it. She and Celia Scott would have pressed for that with a second, and we would have had a clear lineup on the council. People could have made their choices, and we would have seen a public debate. Instead, as usual, she pulled in her horns and didn't. And frankly, I believe that diminishes her moral stature on the issue. She is playing politics, as she has for years. And although she's a woman of good heart, I'm afraid she's not the person I think represents us in a principled way. So people should choose their own vote this November, next, I guess, the first Tuesday in November. It'll be November 5th. You can also consider voting for Eleanor Eisenberg or Dennis Johnston. Eisenberg is a civil libertarian, but I've heard criticism of her from different sources that she's really classist in her attitudes, to use an academic phrase, which means she finds it real hard to get off her high horse and get down and talk to ordinary people. I found less of this in the election, but for years she's snubbed me personally. Not that that's anything new. A lot of people snub me personally in the power elite. That's just what they do because of what they heard or because of the fact that they've been a part of a ruling body that I've attacked for being insensitive to or directly opposed to the rights of poor people. Eisenberg is a possibility, or Dennis Johnston. Dennis Johnston is the downtown mental health worker who has actually bad positions on the sleeping ban and bad positions on drugs. I told him that if he's going to attack drug use, he should also attack the criminalization of marijuana and even the criminalization of hard drugs in favor of treatment programs if he wants my vote. He said he's going to do that. I don't know if he has, but what I do know is he's willing to talk with you. He talked to me for several hours, and he seems legitimately possessed of a lot of new and interesting ideas. Unfortunately, the ones he keeps harping on are the same old ideas about police repression of drug use among the young. He's not talking about the most abused drugs, alcohol and tobacco. He's talking about the glamour high paranoia drugs that are the main key to the hysteria that supports police departments throughout the country. It erodes the Bill of Rights, produces the criminalization throughout the country and the lack of respect for the law. We're talking about cocaine, heroin, LSD, all those classic destroyers of the young and so forth that actually, comparatively speaking, have destroyed relatively few people. Although, indeed, heroin is a plague in many respects. Its increase has gone up 10 times since the mid-80s, I believe. Cocaine and crack are no fun, and LSD is, well, it's okay with me. I've used it, but obviously any drug can be abused, and it's an issue of some concern. The more concern to me, however, is civil rights downtown, and you're going to hear a lot of interviews on the show. We actually haven't been on the air for the last month, so there's going to be a lot of time here interviewing people as to what's been going on downtown, and we'll kind of get right into that after another musical interlude from the Freedom Song Network.
Every worker has a job, and every worker has a job. Oh, I want to be in that number.
was an adaptation by Christine Hoppard Wemmer from This Line of Singing. The original song, of course, was When the Saints Go Marching In. Right now we got very few saints, but lots of poor people and lots of other people working two jobs and three jobs, paying half their wage in rent. But let's turn now to the first week of October. Go back with me, if you will, 4 weeks to the last couple weeks of the City Hall Sleepers protest, which, as many of you know, through reading a premature obituary in the Sentinel, but indeed something that actually did come to pass, City Hall Sleepers protest has passed through its earthly phase, that is, its static phase. The people at the City Hall Sleepers vigil have sort of moved on and expanded to engage in protests against the camping ban in other places, which is something I urged them to do months ago, but nonetheless, there is sort of a I sort of feel a sadness with the passing of the City Hall Sleepers vigil proper, because even though that vigil was located off to the side and there were very few people who could really stay there through the entire night, and often it wasn't seen and suffered much harassment, it was indeed a shining symbol, and indeed the vigil kind of continues in some respects, and that during the day certain people show up with signs even more recently, in the last couple of weeks, and have stayed there with some legalized sleep signs and so forth. But indeed, the formal fixed phase of the vigil is, I would have to say, over. And here's an example of the kind of harassment people were suffering right before it ended, about the first week in October.
In the street! And they know!
I see. It's 10 to 10 here at the City Hall Sleepers Vigil. Mike, it's 10 to 10. What happened?
The three police arrived. Evelyn, a ranger, and another
cop. So I'm sorry, three police arrived. What was this?
Three police arrived. Officer Mark Evelyn and his little rookie crony and a ranger.
Uh-huh.
And they came up, I said, six up, Mike grabbed the sign and the candle. They got Mike a ticket for illegally posting a sign, a prohibited sign. And they told him to put out a cigarette.
What was the sign?
Legalized sleep.
Legalized sleep, and we had the candle with it lit.
Oh, no.
People know what we're doing.
I see.
And then they told him to put out a cigarette, and he says, it's not illegal to smoke, so they handcuffed him. And so I lit a cigarette, blowed it in his face. He said, knock it off, or you're going to jail. So I put my cigarette down. He says, she's got it for littering. I said, fine, I will litter. Look at the fucking place. Okay? And I said, I'm going to illegally post a sign. I set the sign down there. I took my shirt off and sat on the wall. And I said, give me a goddamn ticket, because I ain't signing it. You'll take me to jail. And they wouldn't even ticket me. And they ticketed him for illegally posting a goddamn sign.
Michael, are you
is that
drunk?
Selective enforcement or what?
Well, they're discriminating kinds of individuals.
And why? Why?
Why? Because they know that they prefer you, three out of four cops prefer Michael Sheridan.
Smoke me. Well, you see, another sergeant came out here around the shift change earlier. We had two signs out and he took them.
They changed their tune when he told me, he goes, he's in handcuffs. They told him, well, guess what? You get to legally sit on the wall. They pushed him back to the wall. He said, you go call Robert Norris. I go, what's the number? He goes, 429-80-8529. And I go, okay. And I start up the path and they changed their tune.
All of a sudden, I'm not going to jail.
Well, is that Norris power or what?
I guess so. Yay for Norris power!
We ran into those same cops down the avenue harassing people.
We heard they were down on Hippie Corner. They're like,
they were there,
they're like the goon squad that's going out and above the law in the first baby steps of thinking that they can interpret the law of this city better than the people can. And that's the first step in police brutality.
Is it
and the first step towards police beginning to do...
I can do the noise ordinance and
beginning to do
right?
Extracurricular activities that eventually leads to vigilantism and death squads. It's the same thing that when the cop begins to think that he can interpret the law better than the law...
I'm going to disrupt it.
It's the first step in that direction.
Well, that is illegal. I mean, it's disturbing. I'm not trying to say you shouldn't.
They wanted the signs, and they don't want us showing what we're about. if we're just laying here huddled and, you know, litter and garbage and food and stuff around, the average passerby sees just another bunch of bums laying out in front of City Hall. And they think, oh, this is atrocious. And of course, the newspapers are echoing that sentiment daily here in the San Jose Mercury and the Sentinel to create a picture that the homeless are just a bunch of huddled bums. You know, human debris, ugly,
and
gross people. So then if what's going on at the vigil is just that too, you see, it discredits the vigil and lumps them together. That's why specifically they targeted the signs, that there's something more here and there's a principle involved in the people being here. They don't want that message conveyed. And so then they find where they couldn't find legal reason to arrest me or cite me for anything because I'm not committing any crimes, I have no criminal record, etc. They have twice now had to fabricate incidents or create crimes that they know are false in order to arrest me.
This is the second time?
Yeah.
What was the first?
First time was with playing my radio. When they couldn't arrest anyone else out here, they came and cited me for playing my radio too loud in my car. That was about a few weeks ago.
So we had the blankets going to be, presumably Karen Gillette called me today saying blankets have been released, or at 2:30 today would be released to her care, and she would give them to Dan. So Dan should have the blankets for tomorrow just in time for our demonstration at City Hall.
Well, right on.
And the Revolutionary Coalition is meeting down the way, and they're going to support our action at the town clock and the march here today, tomorrow, too.
He's not coming out here anymore until all the rowdy people are gone. He doesn't want
the
vigil to be associated with people that do pranks and ugly, gross things that the homeless do.
Yeah. I have one question. How can he be part of Revolutionary Coalition if he does not support bad behavior? Because in revolution, is there not bad behavior?
The problem is both he and Charlie, who are now up in arms and trying to disassociate themselves from any rowdyism or ugliness. Charlie, who was doing some printing for us.
Oh, Adler? Charlie Adler.
Yeah. Are now, you know, saying that they're against any kind of gross kinds of ugliness and violent things at the vigil. But both of those people stood out here in the weeks past and verbally expressed desires to destroy the fucking middle class and to bomb rockin', and they hope they all get vaporized and other various gross, ugly group bench kinds of thinking. Advocating and espousing that, and then for them to suddenly flip-flop and say that they're having to disassociate themselves from those kind of things as if they never do those things and they never think those things and they never say those things. Shame on you both for such a cheap fucking flip-flop rationalization and schizophrenia.
There you have it. A certain amount of dissension in the ranks. I'm going to check out what's going on in the city council chambers. I'll be back shortly. We went to a city council forum tonight for the candidates by the Green Party at Loudoun Nelson.
I didn't ask much.
They've got Michael in jail, and probably for a while he's out of commission.
Right.
The Revolutionary Coalition fragmented. Very few people attending this demonstration anymore. It's at its weakest point. And Dan running off doing egalitarian, idealistic, abstract, revolutionary things, and not participating here. You know, they know that it's weak. They know they're having an effect on Hippie Corner. The bad news has gone up and down the coast. You can't go to Santa Cruz anymore. The cops are on every corner. They've fenced it off. They patrol all the time. You can't hang out with your friends anymore. Don't go to Santa Cruz. They know that they're wheedling away and squeezing the vigil down to nothing. They're aware of all of this stuff. Squeeze, back off. Squeeze, back off. And now they're trying to destroy this vigil because they know it's at its weakest point. And they're almost there.
There you have it. The crisis report from Michael Sheridan.
The
Cassandra Complex.
The Cassandra Complex.
And that was a somewhat squeaky, high-pitched version of, you were listening to Michael Rolling Thunder Sheridan and Spittin' Kitten Reynolds, two of the last people to carry on the vigil before it ended. Actually, it ended about a week later. After Sean Alimi, or Shit Kicker Sean, as I called him, vigil for two nights with some of his associates. And indeed, then the vigil, as I said, passed into another phase. A part of its memory, part of its sort of sporadic vigiling during the day, and part of it is the spirit of the vigil in other places. You heard also some interesting things. The The use of the littering ticket, where police tell you to throw a cigarette to the ground and then give you a ticket for littering, obviously a form of direct entrapment. Actually, I don't say throw it to the ground, it's to put out that cigarette. And of course, if you don't have an ashtray nearby, you're likely to put it out by crushing it underfoot. You can get a ticket for it, as people have learned. The seizure of signs in order to discredit the vigil, of course, has become quite a practice. And indeed, it's interesting how reluctant these two particular officers, or at least Officer Ellsworth, I don't know if he was with Officer Over at the time, but these two officers, SCPD police officers, have become notorious for their harassment of people on the mall, the Pacific Garden Mall. Harassment for leaning a guitar against against a bench, for leaning near, sort of half leaning, half lying on the sidewalk off to the side, smoking a cigarette if you're a minor who looks underage. 20-year-old woman was harassed by a police officer for smoking a cigarette. A series of actions designed to make people feel uncomfortable, and even coupled with warnings to get out of town. All this, of course, mixed in with a program to photograph people up and down the mall with mugshots in circumstances where they don't even get tickets. You're told, here, let's take your picture, we'll give you a warning, otherwise we'll give you a ticket. This happened to at least two men I spoke to who were accused of jaywalking, and they looked at me and they said quite candidly, no, we didn't jaywalk, we were just walking down the mall. Apparently the police wanted to get pictures of them. That's what it was all about. So this is continuing, and there are predictions from Dragon Sergeant Dan Hopkins, one of the men who started the vigil, and a guy actually announced its obituary about a week early, that the police are next going to be going after Feed the People and Food Not Bombs. Feed the People, as you may know, is still feeding at Cathcart, Cathcart and Pacific, or Friendship Corner, as I call it, Hippie Corner, as others call it. Evenings, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, and Food Not Bombs is on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but there's increasing pressure on people, on that group, and the fear is that, particularly if the city council elections result in the return of Cynthia Matthews and Michael Rotkin, who are two of the more right-wing council members and who have been supporters of the attempt to crush homeless rights movements, then the pressure will get worse. Michael Sheridan also pointed out that these tickets that he's receiving are forcing him to stay in town to deal with them, and in a way they're creating their own homeless activists, police are, through this kind of harassment. He is drawing up an elaborate complaint, which he will be filing not directly with the Police Review Board, since that would result in the complaint becoming confidential, but first with the City Clerk's Office, a procedure I recommend to any of you listeners who have been abused by the police and who want to file police complaints. Before you file the complaint with the Citizens Police Review Board, do indeed get the form from the CPRB at 905 Cedar Street, which is open Monday through Thursday from 9 in the morning till 1. Get their form and fill it out, and then take it to the City Clerk's Office and get claim form and file a claim for damages. So it can be $1, it can be $5,000, however much you feel you're entitled to. And after you filed the claim with the complaint, then take the complaint back to the Citizens Police Review Board and file the complaint with the board a block away. At that point, your complaint will become a public record, and it cannot be made confidential by the police department, which is what it will do unless you have done that. If you don't do that, then the public will never see your complaint. Any hearing on it will be a closed hearing. You won't even know the name of the officer will not even be revealed to the public when the public comes in to look at the records later on. I don't even know if they'll see your name. I think they may see your name, but they won't see the name of the officer. You won't know any of the disciplinary consequences. The complaint will probably be ignored. Most 90% of the complaints are not sustained, about the same ratio as by the police department, I understand. And business will proceed as usual. There, of course, has been a big drop-off in CPRB, Citizens Police Review Board, complaints. I myself gave a speech to the Citizens Police Review Board a couple of weeks ago, a rather angry speech at their second Monday of the month. That's when they have their meeting. Every 5 o'clock, the second Monday of the month, is their only real public meeting at City Hall. That's the next one will be coming up in November, the second Monday in November at 5. You can go and speak there if you want. I told them that the next time I came to them, I'd be bringing them lots of people with lots of complaints, essentially to publicize their own cowardice, inefficiency, and the sellout mentality that is predominating in their committee. They've been doing this for 2 years. They haven't even had one public hearing. They haven't had one independent investigation. They haven't had one significant impact on the police department. They've retreated further and further from even the minimal rules that they were set up under, giving the police department more and more power to discredit, crush, and ignore them. And we are going to give you some interviews from the mall, but first let's jump to San Jose, which every Saturday at 11 o'clock has a meeting of the Community Homeless Alliance. The Community Homeless Alliance is a group that's been going steady for the last 3 or 4 years, originally formed as the Student Alliance with the Homeless, Student Homeless Alliance at San Jose State University, headed by Scott Wagers and Nancy Nichols and other people. Majority of homeless people are involved in this. They've been fighting for affordable housing to save the houses of poor people that are going to be destroyed by, for instance, Caltrain and freeway expansion, to seize housing and make it habitable as the Oakland Union of the Homeless used to do in the late 80s and early 90s. You can go to their meetings. They happen on every Saturday. If you're interested, give me a call at 423-HUFF and I'll give you more information on how to get to them. Or you can call them directly. And again, call me for their number. Here's what they did, I guess, on the 19th, a couple weeks back. And a brief update from Sandy Perry, one of their members and also a writer for the weekly People's Tribune.
This is Sandy Perry here at the Community Homeless Alliance on the 19th of October. Meeting is moving. Where are you all going? You're going to somewhere else
this month? Yeah, we're having a march. He's talking about next Tuesday, which is the 29th of October. There's going to be a march. Community Homeless Alliance is going to march downtown, protest outside the Montgomery Hotel, which is a vacant hotel. The city's kept it empty. It must be about 10 years now. It used to be low-cost housing for people. They keep it empty. It's a sign of what their policy is toward the homeless here. Keep buildings empty and keep homeless people on the street.
What time is the march and where is it?
Do you know what time it is, Al?
11 o'clock from where I stand.
Right here? This is 80 South 5th Street in San Jose.
And every Saturday at 11 o'clock you have a meeting here?
We have a meeting right here every Saturday.
And you have to do some renovating now?
It's not like a shelter, it's sort of like it's an old Victorian house, women's emergency place. We're going to help them move some wood. They need to help them.
Is anybody here involved in the occupation up north at the Presidio?
Well, it was five of us here that were involved. I wasn't personally, but there was about 15 people here that went up there. Five of them were arrested. They played a very active role in that occupation.
What happened up there?
Man, I wasn't there. You've been there. Let me introduce you to just a second.
What's happening with the Caltrain situation?
It's a scandal that's happening with the Caltrain situation. Caltrain's, in combining with the redevelopment agency in San Jose, has been trying to widen the freeway here for about 20 years. And they wanted to destroy 79 units of low-cost housing in order to do it, to evict people without a dime. And people have been fighting that for about 20 years, and especially in the last couple of years they've been fighting it. It ended up with a lawsuit. 10 people filed a lawsuit. They just went to court this weekend. Unfortunately, they lost due to a legal technicality. And so right now we're regrouping. There's 10 families that are still there. Some of the housing has already been destroyed. Caltrans has to go ahead to destroy the rest of it. The 10 families that are still there have to regroup and figure out what to do now. They're about ready to get their 30-day notice. They have nothing. Some of them may end up being homeless, and City Council is rejoicing at this. David Pandoy was quoted in the newspaper as saying this is a victory for the community, a victory for common sense.
I see.
That's his opinion.
Uncommon nonsense, perhaps.
His idea of common sense is evicting people and making them homeless, apparently.
And is there any recourse? I mean, are the folks likely to continue to squat, or is it, are they going to fight in court further?
Well, One of the persons told me she wants the attorney to appeal. The attorney indicated in the newspaper that she was not going to appeal. So we're not sure what's going to happen legally, and it all depends on the residents, what they want to do.
Is there an organization that's fighting this? Or?
Well, it was Guadalupe Parkway Association. They've been fighting it all along. They're down to 10 families, like I said, everybody else.
Do they have a phone number, or do they have an address?
I don't have a phone number for them. They can be reached through Community Homeless Alliance. So.
Which is 2355-2353 or is it 5323? I'm not sure what the story is about.
Well, just a second.
We're looking in the notebook, folks. Hold on.
Here comes the notebook. Here's our number.
The little red notebook is coming out here.
CHA. We'll look up CHA in the little red book.
And we find?
345-2353.
There it is. 2353.
345-2353. That's Community Homeless Alliance, San Jose, California.
You called me this morning.
I did. I call you every couple of weeks.
You know where we're at.
Yes, come back. Oh, yeah. Give me something. Come back.
Now let's get back to September for some brief interviews with different people about circumstances affecting poor people.
Yeah.
September 11, 1996. Again, I'm continuing a conversation with
Mark Brian Watson.
And Mark, you're telling me between the story of how your wrist was broken around an open container ticket.
Yeah, but I didn't sign because it wasn't mine. Anyway, I got the officer's name here. His name is D. Perry.
Officer Perry? Oh, he was a black guy.
Maybe, I'm not too sure. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I cleaned the toilet and the drunk tank, cleaned the window, and sat on the drunk tank toilet. After I cleaned it with my own bare hands, it started to play the drums again. The first two officers that walked in and said it sounded good, and I'm just sitting there playing the drums. The next two officers that came in broke my wrist. They did this. Actually, it's not quite broken. It's a compound sprain or something. Here's the from Dominican Hospital.
This is a document for Dominican Hospital, dated August 22nd, 1996. It reads, you have sustained a sprain or bruise. This is an injury to either muscle or ligament tissue, but not involving a fracture of the bone. You need to put the injury to rest, maybe getting a splint or sling. And there's further, it's contact the, it's signed by Joseph D. Lago, MD.
Okay, here's another one for you. When I went down to get my medicine at Dominican, they wouldn't let me get it. Even though I have the prescription and everything, because I was let out of jail that night at 1 o'clock. I have two cards down there because I couldn't do the fingerprints. I couldn't do the fingerprints with my right hand. So at about 10 o'clock, they finally get me out of this little room. They take me up there, and this one officer tried to grab my right wrist and put it on the little fingerprint thing. I said, no. It was swollen up as big as a cantaloupe. And finally, the nurse comes up and says, I think we have a problem here. So they took me to the hospital. They let me out of the hospital at 12. I was in room 11 with this other guy that had to get a catheter in him. They drive me back to the jail. They proceed to let me out of the place, told me I cannot do anything illegal in town. So I had to take a raging piss, so I finally found an open bar, pissed, walked all the way to 7th and Broome because that's the only place I could sleep. The next day, I went back to get my medicine, went down to Dominican, went to about four different rooms, and finally went down to the emergency room, and see that right there?
I see a bump on your left elbow.
Elbow, because the two security officers down at Dominican Hospital emergency room proceeded to drag me out of there and throw me up against the wall.
And what did they say they were doing that for?
Because I wasn't being a gentleman.
And what did they consider your conduct ungentlemanly?
Yes, because I already had been to like four or five rooms trying to get my medicine, and they kept telling me I can't have it, even though I had all the paperwork right here. And they finally gave me my medicine, and I went back to Boulder Creek that day.
Do you know the names of these security officers who rammed you against the wall?
No, I don't. One guy was fat, kind of, and the other guy was kind of skinny and old.
Two officers who broke your wrist in jail. Were these deputies or were these police?
They were detention officers, I guess. Police, detention officers, something like that. I don't know. See, I gave wearing glasses up because I'm tired of getting knocked off the face. I'm tired of rolling over in bed and crunching and having to go spend $300 more, and I can see pretty good. I mean, when I get up close, I can see.
Your name is Mark?
Mark Brian Watson.
Do you have a phone number that you can reach out or a contact?
Yes, I do.
And what is that number? I got to go with her right
there's
now.
There's two of them. I'll give you my dad's phone number.
Right.
And there's a message machine. That's what I'm waiting for right now.
Do you mind if this goes out over Free Radio Santa Cruz?
No, not at all. In fact, please play it. I even have the original tape of what I did the next day.
Okay.
All on a tape. It's stored at the Valley Resource Center.
You can get it. I'll give you my number in case you want it as well.
That'd be good. I wouldn't. Say this again. I can't play guitar, which is my favorite thing. I can't masturbate because I can't do it with my left hand. It just doesn't work.
And it's hard to wipe your butt because the hand you normally use, your right hand, is now is injured.
It's injured. I can't turn it around like this. What's happening right now, my thumb, my opposing thumb, when I press like this, it's just a little harder. It hurts really bad right in here, right below the thumb.
Mike, let me give you this number and thank you and hope we can talk some more.
Yes, most definitely.
So I'm here at the City Hall Sleep Out near noon on September 11th, the day after the famous City Council protest, talking to Mama Tama. Hi, Tama.
Hi, how you doing?
You say First Alarm was lurking around all evening for the first time, the security service?
Yes, they were sitting. At first it became like, it was like three cars, and then it dwindled down to one or a few.
Yeah.
And they stayed till 6 o'clock in the morning, about.
And what was the point of their being there?
The point of their being there, I believed, is that... you're taking out the tree bear of Santa Cruz.
So Andy Crane is here. We're going to pause briefly.
Okie dokie. Whatever.
California State. So Andy Crane is around. Mm-hmm.
Looks like storage of food to me needs to be removed immediately. Yeah, get the corn junk.
Guitar.
It'll be removed immediately. If not, I will take it. No, storage of food. I'm telling you, it's a corn injunction. It's a storage of food that needs to be removed immediately, or I will take it.
Wait a second. Before you grab anything, let's take things that you know. Does this count as the storage of food?
No, that's not storage of food.
Oh, okay.
Just this one here?
This is not storage of food. This doesn't look like food.
That does.
Okay, wait. Well, we'll get the food out.
The protesters are removing what look like non-food items from a box.
Yeah.
What maybe...
Removed from the site?
Removed from the site?
Yes. Sergeant Crane is removing food from the site, per the injunction. We've had Mayor Rotkin passing by a moment ago, on his way to eat, no doubt, lunch, probably.
Let's see what's here.
I know you don't care, but I'm telling you that it's donations, and... No, I don't think so. I think it was a donation. You get donations consistently, and we take care of the situation the soonest we can.
So there seems to be a conflict of opinion here.
Only a conflict in your opinion.
One of the protesters says its food was recently donated, and Andy Crane is calling this storage of food. It looks like most of the stuff is not food, Andy. It looks like there may be...
The stuff that he removed was food. The rest of it? Those are the items I put up. That looks like garbage to me.
That does look like garbage to me as well. It's quite correct. But again, treating people like garbage and throwing them out of the city council, as you did David Minton Silva last night, was, I feel, inappropriate and conduct unbecoming a sergeant. What do you have to say about that?
Keep it out of my face, Robert. You keep it arm's distance away
from me. I'm at arm's distance away from you, Andy, and please don't get violent. I've often regarded you as a sergeant who's worthy of talking to, but...
I'm tired of your manipulations.
Tired of you throwing people out of city council on against pillars out there. I'm sure there will be complaints and lawsuits filed. I'm not going to do that. Somebody else will.
Now take a number.
But well, apparently, you made mistakes big time last night. You barred people from city council who had not engaged in any disruptive behavior whatsoever. You yourself admitted that fact on tape.
I didn't admit anything, Robert.
You didn't admit anything. No, I think you did. I think I got it on tape here. Yeah, well, you can shrug because you got a badge and a gun and false authority from the city, but at one point that no doubt will be stripped away from you, we hope.
By the state.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you're up on your A's and B's. I wish you knew as much about human rights as you seem to know about specific details of that kind. I don't think so. You're not acting that way.
Acting according to duties and responsibilities.
You threw a man against a pillar, Sergeant Crane, last night. You threw an HIV-positive man against a pillar on the ground, 9 feet. What are you talking about?
guess I had more strength than I realized.
Now, I guess you did. I guess you did. Job, Sergeant Crane. Get a job. An honest job that does not involve injuring other people. Get a job.
He's got a job.
He's got one. He's talking about thugs.
Again, excuse the interruption. You were saying what happened last night. There was a first alarm security presence here.
Yeah, they were here on consistently until six o'clock in the morning. As soon as the meeting was let out.
And now, were people sleeping here last night?
Yeah, people were sleeping here last night.
How many people were sleeping?
I see about 5 or 6 or 7 people.
So that was in some contrast to the night before when apparently there were really few people sleeping here?
That's true. That's true. Not that anyone's really sleeping.
Not that what?
Not that anyone's really sleeping. It's like non-sleeping.
Keeping one eye open, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
She wants to play.
There was an incident that happened with the first security. What is her name? She comes with a bicycle and she often has,
you mean Jeannie?
Jeannie, yes, Jeannie. She plopped herself across the street in the bushes near the tree. And they decided that they were going to go over there and flash their flashlights on her and tell her that, you know, she can't be there, she needs to move. They were saying more than that. They were kind of like, you know, playing with her, like turning on and off the flashlight.
Are you talking about armed SCBD or first alarm?
First alarm.
Did you get the names of any of these people who were shining lights in the face of this homeless woman?
I did not get their names.
Oh, did she eventually move or did she stay?
She eventually moved. She asked why she had to move continuously, you know, and, you know, Jeannie, she's been here consecutively for the past couple weeks, and she's always just been left alone.
I don't know what to say. You know, like,
Maybe you
want to
get somebody else's input.
You did fine. Thank you, Tommy.
That tape was made about a month, actually almost 2 months ago now, after the day after the famous city council sleep chain gang lockdown, where people chained themselves to the dais and podiums of city council furniture in order to protest city council's refusal to discuss, put on the agenda, and respond to the crisis of criminalization of homeless people in Santa Cruz through the city's sleeping ban law. We heard from Tana, who's a pregnant homeless woman, who is going to be having a child in December. I think it's due December 28th, the child is due. And she is on the front page of Street Spirit, an Oakland newspaper, which is now being sold in Santa Cruz. And which, if you're interested in selling Street Spirit, do give me a call at 423-4833. If you're homeless, I'm interested in getting some of those copies to you. Sell them for $1 a piece and make enough to get coffee. Hey, wouldn't that be nice? You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and this is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I'm Robert Norse, or Bathrobes Pierre Robert, as I sometimes call myself. Why bathrobe? Well, it's something I wear when I go to sleeping band demonstrations to show solidarity with people who have to sleep outside. I wear a bathrobe, I sport a teddy bear, and slippers, an attempt to add a little humorous theatrical touch to what is not really a very humorous situation. But you gotta laugh, or you might cry. Anyway, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, and you are listening to a show concerned with the rights of homeless people in Santa Cruz. If you want to have input into the show, do give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833.
There once was a union man who never was afraid of goons and geeks and the company thinks and the deputy sheriffs who made the raids. She went to the union hall and a meeting it was called. And when the company boys came round, she always stood her ground. Oh, you can't scare me, I sing to the union. I sing to the union. I sing to the union. Oh, you can't.
can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
This union maid was wise to the tricks of company spies. She never got fooled by company stools. She always organized. She'd always get her way when she struck for higher pay. She'd show her card to the National Guard, and this is what she'd say.
Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
You women who want to be free, take a little tip from me. Break out of that mold we've all been sold. You've got a fighting history. The fight for women's rights, if workers must unite. Like Mother Jones, move those bones to the front in every fight.
Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
And that, of course, was Union Made by Woody Guthrie. Homeless rights people feel much the same way. You can't scare me, I'm sticking with the struggle. And that's what people are doing. Let's hear some more interviews. Here's one with Gideon, who's going to be going to court for sleeping outside of the City Hall sleepers protest and going to be helping Tama with the child when the child is born. He's a close friend and lover of Tama's. And the two of them can often be seen, or were often seen, in front of City Hall back when the City Hall sleepers protest was in full bloom. And they're still organizing and doing their part to fight for basic rights for poor people in Santa Cruz. He is talking about troll busting and the attacks on homeless people by bigots, such as the one that killed Martin Estrada on October 1st, where Estrada was stabbed under the Soquel Street Bridge in a still unsolved crime.